Reporting live from a kitchen with a leaf blower outside.
Good morning, nerds.
Today, our very special guests are Richard Molina, a puzzle enthusiast and convention specialist.
That's me. And Angela Weber, lead singer and booking manager for nerd folk superstars The Double Clicks.
That's me. Plus, we're going to check in the middle of convention season to see what's new in the world of geek.
And we have your tips for a nerdy week here in Portland.
Welcome to Nerd Portland Radio.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Angela.
And you're listening to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM.
Yeah.
And Angela, welcome back.
Thank you so much. We're going to have a nice special catch-up episode. You have been doing a fantastic job while I was gone.
Yeah, that was kind of scary.
Yeah. Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it?
It was kind of a dark place, I think, doing this all by myself. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, like, me saying something and then no one replying.
No one shooting you down immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Just awkward silences and...
Yeah.
That's really what I'm best at.
Okay, well, why don't you introduce me and we'll have an interview.
Angela, where have you been?
Okay.
Oh, did you want
a
better
introduction?
Angela Weber, lead singer of The Double Clicks.
Yeah, that's me.
What have you been up to lately?
Thank you so much for having me here on the show.
Absolutely.
I just got back from tour. Remember
okay.
that?
Yeah, you were on tour. How was that?
It was good. We had a lot of juice and burritos. We were in the Southwest. It was warm. But it was overall a pretty good, while exhausting, time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Probably exhausting if food and beverage is at the top of your list. Like how?
I mean, and we played like nerd music to nerds.
Yeah. How many shows?
A billion. I don't know. Maybe 10.
10 shows? Okay.
Because we spent a weekend at a convention. We did 2 shows and a radio show in a day. I guess if
okay.
I count the radio stuff, it's probably more than 10.
Okay. So 10 shows plus radio shows. How many states?
Okay. That's a terrible question. Let's see. Utah, New Mexico, Arizona.
Those are 3.
California. A bunch of California
4.
And Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. All right. You play in a lot of weird places.
That's true.
So what was the weirdest show out of all of those?
Oh, that's a great question. We do play a lot of non-traditional venues just because of how we are. We can't just like set up in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Because, a lot of people love dinosaurs. Most of them will give us strange looks. And we can't do that every night. Like, I can't have people judging me negatively every day. I will break. So we played at a library, which was actually pretty fun. I like the leaf blower.
It's adding something.
Some good action. We played at a library, and they brought in an entire class of children that were just, like, at a camp. And they were like, this will be an hour of free entertainment. And so that was... really exciting, because suddenly we were an assembly and not a concert for people who have heard of us before.
Okay, that's different.
Yeah. Well, so a lot, people, we're kids music. Like, you've been to a show where there are children.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Uh-huh.
But the reason that children like our music is because, like any music, Double Clicks music is kids music if kids have heard it 10 times, because then they have it memorized, and then they're like,
they
I
sing
recognize
along. Yeah,
this,
okay.
And therefore I love it, which is true of anything. You could play Zeppelin for them. You could play, you know, the most... boring songs in the world, if they recognize it, except for hymns, for some reason kids aren't super into that.
Yeah, they just don't remember.
They are like, I know this, therefore I love it. And these kids did not know us. So, but
at
they,
all.
No, but they we let them meow during some of the songs.
Okay.
They were into that. Like, really into it. And yelling. We did Velociraptor. They like to yell. During that one.
So they didn't know you. Were they just kind of squirmy and kid-like the whole time?
I mean, it wasn't their fault, and it wasn't the fault of anybody involved, and it was a lovely thing, and we're very happy they invited
us. Okay, that's fair.
But no, we played Lullaby for Mr. Bear, and they fell asleep. They like literally fell asleep. And it was like, you know what, we should have played this earlier, and then they would have been quieter this whole show.
So did they...
And somebody actually came up to me on tour this time, was like, I'm very impressed you're here. From the subject matter of your songs, I can tell that you really do not leaving your house.
Oh.
Like, I don't know how you do this, since you obviously, like, the subject, so, like, you obviously hate people, and you're really shy, and you're angry, which is true. But game stores, I feel very comfortable, because it's like, I feel like I'm not being, I don't have a spotlight on me, I don't have an uncomfortable expectation. It was great. We played at a couple really wonderful ones, really, like, sort of small thing stores, but they have community, and they really, really try to have community. They don't just have, like, well, Wizards told us we have to have a pre-release weekend, so we're going to do a lot of magic. That was jargon also. Wizards of the Coast, who create magic.
Uh-huh, that's true.
Put on a lot of events, and this will become relevant. And one of them is a pre-release where they, like, release the new cards or something.
Yeah, it comes out.
The new magic cards, because they are really good at making all of the money in the world.
So it comes out Saturday, I think, and then they do pre-release, so you get that glimpse and extra, yeah. They promo cards and all sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah.
So, but instead of just doing that kind of event, which is great also, they, you know, work really hard to make events that include everybody, and they have contests and tournaments, and, like, the story played out in Fresno, California, and everybody was like, why are you going to Fresno, blah, blah, blah. But they are amazing, and they, like, raise money to send their best players to, like, tournaments around the country.
Yeah, wow.
And they do a lot of, like, charity work and stuff. It was fantastic. But while we were there, it was a pre-release weekend while we were on tour. And so we couldn't play at any game stores Friday or Saturday night, which is pretty common for us. We're the band that can't play Friday nights, which is so dumb.
That's a weird problem.
Because Friday is Friday Night Magic. And if you kick out Magic players, they will burn down your game store. But the fun part was every game store we went to had this new standee of Garruk.
Garruk, I think.
Planeswalker, I guess.
Yeah.
He's a character in Magic the Gathering. Yeah. And they had all dressed him up differently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, we were in Oakland, they had put, like, a sombrero on him. In Fresno, they had actually built the electronics. The woman who owned this game store is, like, a super, like, techie nerd. So she had built, like, LED lights and, like, motion-activated sound and stuff to, like, deal with him. I think there's some sort of contest and stuff. And he held our sign at one of those.
Oh, really?
Stores. Yeah, it was pretty great.
He's so helpful.
He's very helpful. He's a great community guy.
Good.
Yeah, game stores are fun. I like them. I like it when they create a community and they realize that kids need a place to go.
Yeah, I think that's really the best part, is getting everyone on board with that and making sure it's just a safe space for everybody and not just a money-making.
Exactly. Yeah, there's definitely some places that just see it as, like, we need to push merchandise, but there are other places who see, like, having an event as part of the goal of a game store. So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of those places.
Those are my favorite ones.
Not just because I personally benefit from that.
Got it. Yeah. All right, so do you think that that your tour is pretty typical of the way bands do this whole thing now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I keep telling you that.
I know. I'm
good. Yeah. Well, it's just a stalling tactic.
Oh.
It's interesting. Well, yeah, because touring is getting harder. Like, venues especially, and especially, like, a couple of years ago, we're all dying out like crazy.
Yeah.
Because of ASCAP, and because people don't go out to music, and because of whatever reason. And so they have to take a lot of your money away when you play at a venue. And so I think people are doing, like, a lot more house shows and, like, non-traditional things so that they don't lose money on tour, which used to be how you were supposed to make money.
Yeah, I thought that was the point.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think so. We actually, there are a lot of nerd musicians who play at game stores and comic shops and stuff, which I think is really cool and interesting. And touring is tough, but people, I think, are finding ways to do it. Although most of the, like, bands that we've played with, like, traditional bands that we've played with that are able to tour, like, have a label, like, even a small one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. A lot of people just aren't able to get out and drive around because you have, like, a minimum at the club or something like that.
Yeah.
Although it's a lot easier. My dad used to tell me when they toured, because he was a musician, they'd have to, like, call people on the phone. It's horrible.
And just drag them out to the show?
Oh, no, to, like, even book anything. And then...
Oh.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah, I can see how that would be bad.
The internet's great.
Yeah. Wow, doing business over the phone.
That's horrible. I can't even imagine.
So what do you think is, like, the trend line? Is this a dying art, the tour, or is it
I am not qualified to answer that, but that's a great question. I think people are just gonna have to find other ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a really interesting week for the music industry, because, like, the album is supposed to be dying, and people are doing things other ways, like on YouTube and stuff, and then Weird Al's album hit number one on Billboard, and he's like, you know, there was a lot of talk of, like, it's hard for him to do his job because it's the era of YouTube parody.
Right.
And so a lot of people get to stuff before he did, and he had to put out this one last album on his contract.
Yeah.
Did you talk about this last week?
No, but someone was telling me about it, that this was this was the one.
Yeah, well, he had like an 11-record contract or something that spanned 35 years, which was crazy. and he really wanted to get into other methods. But, I mean, I'm sure one of the reasons he was able to hit number one is that the record is not as popular, and you have to sell a lot less records to hit number one than you did
when he was
starting out. Because people just don't buy full albums anymore. They buy singles and stuff and listen on Spotify. But I think the fact that he was able to do a successful marketing campaign for an album is pretty exciting, especially kind of in comedy, in comedy and parody and stuff. He has original songs, and they're not necessarily just novelty songs, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He tours. I'm sure he doesn't, you know, I'm sure it's expensive of him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But he's got a tour for that, right?
Not too
that
often.
Was great.
What I've heard is that his tour is next year.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have to tour to promote, I mean, clearly, to promote the album.
Yeah, no kidding.
you can just release it online, whereas we kind of have to tour to promote our album so people buy it at shows. Which I'm sure people will buy it at shows, but mostly for the big guys, it's t-shirts
and
stuff.
Huh.
I don't know. It's interesting. I really want to see Weird Al live someday.
Yeah, me too. It'd be so good. I'd be so happy no matter what he played or in whatever context he wanted to do it.
Yeah, just like a nice sit-down acoustic show.
Yeah, it'd be great. Oh my gosh. Weird Al unplugged.
We just have the accordion playing Lady Gaga.
Okay, so
overall
tour.
Yes, back to me.
What'd you learn? Yeah, back to, I don't want to focus on Weird Al. He's just a super successful musician who's awesome, and look him up.
Maybe we should have him on the show.
That'd be good. Do you think he's free?
I'm sure he's not doing anything. What did we learn? I feel like I had my first real actual Eugene experience.
Good.
Because we've played there before, but we played at this bar, and we played at this comedy show with this guy that was kind of super offensive, and it was weird, and there were not that many people there.
Oh, wow.
We played at a coffee shop, and a lot of wonderful, beautiful nerds came out, and it's an academic town, so you would expect
them to exist. There's a lot.
But there were also just the most hippies, like the most young Eugene-y people in the world.
Well, you were just down there last week. Oregon Country Fair is going on pretty soon around here, too. So it's...
Yeah, it was intense. I mean, they were all super duper nice people.
Yeah.
But a guy literally, you know, got out of his station wagon that he clearly, if not lives in, citizen of the world lives in.
Yeah.
And handed me a handful of quarters and asked to trade it for a CD so he could, I assume, trade that for something else. Like, it was gorgeous and beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And
what else? You went outside.
I did.
I saw it. You took pictures of going outside, and I was convinced that you were allergic to the outdoors.
I hate it. But we were down, so we started in a place called Snowbird, Utah, doing this convention called Nerdtacular, which is great. Uh-huh. It's like a podcaster's convention. And there's a lot of different kinds of conventions. And I actually want to ask you when we get to your interview about the stuff that you've been doing recently.
Yeah.
But it was like all these podcasters have these podcasts, and then they're these big personalities, and then all of their fans come, and they go to this resort in Utah called Snowbird. So we went and we hiked, and we took a ski lift. I mean, there was some snow on the ground at the top.
Okay.
It was a really long ski lift. It was a 15-minute huge thing.
It was freaking out.
Yeah, it was gorgeous though. But then from there we had a day off in between Utah and Albuquerque, so we went to Arches National Park, which was very warm. but beautiful and sort of weird. And they have red sand there. Oh, that's probably what I have. My purse is full of sand. I tried to pocket sand somebody and then just have residual sand, so I think I'm gonna have to clean it out or get a new purse. It's probably from Moab.
Probably, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but I recommend going outside once a year. It's good stuff occasionally. Mm-hmm. It's touring is difficult, and my least favorite part of it is people inviting me to do stuff while I'm on tour, because between driving all day and being awake and doing nothing in a car and then putting out all my energy to do a show, I just don't have energy to go out. Like, I technically sometimes have time, and I don't want to turn people down, and I feel like a jerk. But that's my least favorite part of tour is people inviting me to do stuff. I'm just like, that sounds great. And I feel like a jerk. But if I do that, I will just be dead.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, especially if you're doing shows back to back or multiple on the same day or whatever else. I mean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tough to have fans.
It's just the worst. Anyway. Today on Red Portland Radio, we just talked to Angela Webb. We'll be right back with our very special guest, Richard Blaine.
Oh, that's me.
Welcome back to Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray FM. I am Angela Weber, and my guest today is Richard Molina.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Also my co-host, but I wanted to catch up with you. So you are many things. You are a puzzle enthusiast. You have this book right here called Maze of Games that you have been puzzling with.
Uh-huh. This was kickstarted, I feel like it was a year ago, by Mike Salinker up in Seattle.
Yeah.
And he's been working on it ever since. And it's got tons and tons of puzzles in there, and he got all these different people, like Will Shorts is a puzzle in there, the New York Times crossword guy, and a whole bunch of other puzzle enthusiasts.
Yeah, and you're also a teacher.
I am.
And you're also, recently, you started working at conventions.
Yeah, this was really weird.
So what you were at QuakeCon.
QuakeCon in Dallas.
So what is that?
So really weirdly, it's a convention in Dallas.
Okay.
It's basically the annual one that Bethesda and id Software and ZeniMax put on. Mm-hmm. And they made games like, well, Quake
and Doom.
Quake's really old. Yeah, it's okay. 20. The convention, I think, has been going on for 20 some years.
But the people who make Quake and these other games.
Yeah, they support it. They send lots of money. They send their people down.
Okay.
It was nuts.
What did you do?
I was working at the Bethesda store, basically. So I was selling merchandise for Fallout and Skyrim, and a little bit for Quake. You know, we had like the official, well, semi-official T-shirt, stuff like that.
So set the scene here. What does QuakeCon look like?
Okay,
how many people are there?
QuakeCon is. I'm used to like Northwest conventions. I'm used to Comic Cons. You know, PAX is kind of the biggest one for me. Mm-hmm. But this one was all computer gaming. Like there were. There was the Bring Your Own Computer room, had 2,500 seats in it, and they were all full, and there were people who didn't even have hotel rooms. They just brought a pillow and a blanket and a mini refrigerator, and they set up their computer, and they stayed there for 4 days. And it's all networked, so they're all playing. You know, they could play Doom and Quake together, or Team Fortress, or any other ridiculously huge multiplayer game.
Okay. And so in addition to that, there's like the...
Oh, and then, next to that, there's the dealer hall, which wasn't actually very big. Bethesda was there showing off Elder Scrolls Online, The Evil Within, which is survival horror from the people who did the first Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And then Battle Cry, which is a new team-based FPS, first-person shooter. Yeah.
And this is the first convention you've worked, correct?
Yeah, I've volunteered at a few for like Pathfinder and stuff. It was all just really small scale, but this is the only one that I worked every hour that the show floor was open.
Oh, wow.
And then did, you know, the shipping beforehand and wrapped it all up afterwards. It was really hard. My feet hurt a lot, and we sold a ton. So, you know, good for them, but...
So you're just constantly moving merchandise?
And yeah. And there was just no end to it. Because they decided that computers work really well when they're cold. And so the BYOC room, the Bring Your Own Computer, was set at, I think, 42 degrees the whole weekend. And so as soon as the show floor opened, people ran in and they were like, it's freezing cold. We need hoodies. We need hoodies now. And so they bought out all of the exclusive hoodies almost immediately.
Wow.
It was nuts.
That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun, though. And they have a lot of really cool merchandise. I now am the proud owner of a Fallout jumpsuit. So I can dress up like a vault dweller if I want to. It's pretty cool.
Whenever you might, that might be necessary for you.
Life. You know, it comes up in my life.
So do they have like big competitions or announcements and stuff at this place?
Okay. This I didn't know. There are still people that get paid money to play Quake.
Which came out in
1996.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had an international tournament. Like it was their finals that they do. And I went to go see the final competition, which was a huge deal. Again, there was a guy from the U.S. and then his opponent was from Belarus, and I think third place was from Sweden, and they all flew into Dallas to play Quake. And it's a level that has been out the whole time. You know, they knew the level. They've mastered them. They get to choose which levels they go to. And it's they had these announcers up there that were talking about it, like, all strategically and mm-hmm. going, like, oh, that was a really defensive move. And, okay, he's defending the red armor. I don't know. mm-hmm. It was the strangest game I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
But there were tons of people all freaking out about it. It was live streamed on Twitch. I don't know how many people were watching it there, but. It was fun.
That's awesome.
And then the other big thing that happened was we got to see the new Doom. And Doom's been around a long time, and I feel like a lot of people who play first-person shooters and have been playing for a long time. I mean, I played Doom when I was a kid. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
And Wolfenstein, and there's a new one of those, too, that's out recently. But the new Doom looks crazy.
Is it just pretty, or is it...
It's really pretty, but Doom is a lot different than a lot of FPSs because it's about, like, hordes. Okay, so if you've never played Doom, here's the whole plot line.
Okay.
You work at a space station on Mars, uh-huh. and the legions of hell show up.
Okay.
The end. So,
yeah. You have to get them out.
That was pretty much the introduction. So yeah. It's all of these enemies all the time, and it's not... A lot of the FPSs now are, you know, it's like first-person shooters, sure. There's like five of you and there's five of the other team, and that's it. It's a really like small-scale tactics game. But this one is just this endless onslaught, and we don't make games like that mm-hmm. so often anymore. So they were trying to figure out how to use the new way people play games to give that old feel, and it was disturbingly good. I cannot wait to play that game.
Oh, awesome.
The visuals are nuts, and if you just want to see demons ripped in half with a chainsaw, because that's what Doom is about, then that's the game for you.
It's your game. All right, so overall impressions of QuakeCon?
I was kind of initially worried going into QuakeCon because I don't play Quake anymore, and I was kind mm-hmm. of wondering what this community would be.
And it's a game convention, so like at a comic convention, you've got like a pretty solid ratio men and women, and
it's true.
Everybody's pretty nerdy mm-hmm. and inclusive. But games are sort of they have a reputation,
based
online gaming and stuff, for being less inclusive and being more
absolutely
sort of a bullying environment. Uh-huh.
And specifically, these are the type of games we worry about. We'll worry, if people are worried about games being a bad influence. This is the section we're talking about. But going there, like, it was a really cool group of people. Everyone was really, really friendly. Like, they're all playing games together in that room, and it doesn't matter who's there. And you're not playing with the person next to you. It's just someone else around there.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who came through the vendors area was really, really nice, and they cared about the game, and they've got their kids there, and they're having a good time. Okay. You know, it was good, so I feel bad because I had this negative expectation. Not negative, but, you know, just not overwhelmingly positive. But it ended up being a lot of fun. I hope they ask me to go back next year, actually, because do that again. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Plus Dallas, I've never been there, so.
Have you been there now, or did you mostly stay inside the hotel on the convention?
Most of the time, but we went out a little bit at night, and every time I was like, this is actually pretty nice. Like, it's a little cold, it's a little rainy. What's going on? And apparently it was like a polar vortex there. Like, they were freaking out. The weather stations were calling it like autumn in summer or something like that. It was...
Yeah, because if it's summer and you're saying it's a little cold, that's not what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it was really weird. It just felt very Portland, and that's not how Dallas is supposed to feel.
It's not great. That's not right. Awesome. And what are you doing now? What is your takeaway from that place?
Well, I did get a free copy of the Elder Scrolls Online, which I loved Skyrim and Morrowind and all those. So I'm going to see what they did with this MMO version of it.
We'll see you next year sometime.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah, I'm level 7 already.
Good for you.
Started yesterday.
All right, thank you, Richard Molina, for joining us on Nerd Portland Radio on xray.fm. We will be right back with some current events. Welcome back to Nerd Portland Radio. Here is what you should do in Portland to be a nerd if you want. There's no expectation from us.
Right, absolutely. So this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con.
We're not there. You realize no. that, right?
Yeah, this
and
is this
also
is
in San Diego.
Yeah, not in Portland at all.
Are you bitter about not going? I'm not at all. I'm not bitter.
It's not really. I mean, it's all these important things happen there, but it just sounds too crazy. I've never been. So. Yeah.
So if you want to keep up on this biggest event in nerddom,
right,
just check out the internet.
Yeah.
Live streams, IGN or Twitch. You can see all the panels probably better than you could when you're down there. That's the kind of rationalization
true.
That people give when they're not at San Diego
yeah.
Comic-Con. And everybody will be posting things. We're expecting some Marvel movie announcements, some DC
yeah.
movie announcements, mm-hmm. which is what I care about, but also some other stuff.
Yeah, there have been some really cool comic reveals lately, so hopefully we hear more about those.
And you will be staying tuned to...
I usually pay attention to
IO9. Okay. I'm probably just going to watch Twitter.
That works.
But back here in Portland, actual event.
Yeah.
On both this Saturday and Sunday afternoons, the Hollywood Theater is showing The Dark Crystal. also known as the Jim Henson movie that gave you nightmares. So, of course, it's
it
good
gave
for
me many
families.
Nightmares.
It gave like, a lot.
Yeah. It was terrifying. Still.
Tickets are $5 or $2 for children that you want to scar, 12 or under, and the show starts at 2 p.m. each day.
Coming up next Wednesday night is the monthly OMSI After Dark, and this month's theme is Out of This World. So for all of you astronomy nerds out there, it's time to head to OMSI.
Wasn't there booze last time? There was like a festival of
yeah, it had that cider fest. This one doesn't have a beer fest.
Okay.
So it's just going to be all about the science, which is great.
That's awesome.
It's a big change.
There's some alcohol. Right?
Yeah, there's usually vendors that have something, but it's
all
not
right.
like a free festival,
That's
which
good.
Is good.
You can check out demonstrations about the geoscience of craters, living in a vacuum, astrophotography,
Heck
and
yeah.
more. The event starts at 7 p.m. Oh, and yeah. tickets are $13.
All right, that's it for Nerd Portland Radio here on X-Ray FM. Thanks for listening. Here's some music.